Well, turn in your Bibles to 78th Psalm. I just want to welcome everybody online this morning. If you're watching at home, thank you for tuning into Faith City Church and Spirit Alive Television right across the land of Thunder Bay, Canada. And those of you, if you're watching from the United States or wherever you are, maybe, I don't know if Robbie's watching in B.C., he went to BC. So, Robbie, if you're watching, I know the Canucks, did they win last night? I don't know, but they didn't win. So, sorry about that. I saw your picture there with some of your friends. But the Leafs won. Hallelujah! I don't hear too many. Where's all those Bruin fans? One more right there. Yeah, ushers, come on. I know. There's great cheering coming from everywhere across Leaf Nation. So I thank God for at least a win here and there. So we go to. So it's been good so far. That was a very good movie, right? We need to pass out a little bit of popcorn, and the movie would be very good. But this is a brand new thing. The kids they've done this for about a year or so. Simple things. Now to get into episodes on the back in Rhema when we had, because that influence come from Pastor Steve, and they're making a movie. For the announcements, they make it into a movie. So if you didn't catch that, let me announce it right now. For the announcements, they're making it into a little movie, so you get to be entertained just a little bit, you know. It's nice to have some little bit of fun with the kids. The kids, you know, you need to keep the kids in church. And one of the ways to do it is make movies. Yes. So that's, I know kids have a hard time. I don't know about you if you understand this or not. If you're a youth once, kids are struggling. They say the kids, we did a little study there. In fact, we were studying in the city of Thunder Bay as well as part of the pastoral leadership in the city. I go to a meeting once a month with all the pastors that are in that group, maybe more evangelical, Pentecostal churches in the city. Churches that are actually very active in the city where we get together once a month and we pray about various aspects of our ministry and we share about what we're doing. It's, we haven't really got to the point where we're sharing so deep secrets of our secret past, but at least we're working together now. And working along and just to enjoy each other's company for sure. You know, just to have coffee with somebody. And, I used to feel good. Every Monday, I used to have a pastor friend of mine. He used to call me about every Monday, tell me how horrible things were going. And he was just struggling away. And when I got off the phone, I felt so wonderful because I wasn't having that problem. So, but anyway, it's nice when somebody else is having a problem. And you're doing okay. Now, come on now. Some of you are not that honest about it. But I like when somebody else has the problem, not me. You know, so praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for this couple laughs there. So anyway, okay, turn in your Bible with me. We're going to pray first. The Bible says when you stand praying, let's go ahead and stand. And so keep your eyes open. When you're praying, glory to God. The Bible says, watch and pray. all right, you can pray whatever you want. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning that this message will be with power. Let it be with demonstration, Father, of the Spirit and of power. So we yield our whole spirit, our soul, our body to you right now. Father, if there's anything in us that's not surrendered, we surrender our whole lives to you right now. Whatever it is, we lay ourselves before you, Lord. And whatever you want to correct in our lives, whatever you want to change in our lives, we're here this morning to hear you talk to us through your precious word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's our great teacher and our guide. May he begin to teach us and give us the knowledge of Jesus Christ in more deliberate and real succinct fashion that is what we need to know. Father, thank you for wisdom for every part of our lives, Father, to apply that today, to be free in every area. We thank you, Lord God, that we bind the enemy that was trying to steal, kill, and destroy our homes and our families and our ministries and churches and businesses, Father. He has no authority in there. So we take authority over that right now. And we loose the angels of God around, Father God. Angels go forth and cause whatever protection and supply and whatever needs to be done in their homes and families and businesses and workplaces. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this service, and we'll be better off as after we leave here. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, praise God. I want to talk about, the overcoming life. That's our topic today, but I entitled this message, Two Kinds of Christians. Two kinds of Christians. The first part, the first kind of Christian is God can. The second part the can't Christians, the God can't and the God can Christians. So two kinds. So Psalm 78, verses 12 to 20, we're going to read a number of verses of Scripture in the New Living Translation because it's easier to read. I usually study from the King James, and it's an accurate translation. So this is more of a paraphrase Bible. So sometimes you'll find a word missing or something because it's paraphrased. So Psalm 78, 12 to 20. And the psalmist is writing, and he's rehearsing to the people about all that God had did for the people. You know, every once in a while, we need to have a rehearsal of what God's done in your life. You look back in your life, and you see how wonderful God has been for you. How many of you can say, you know, God has done something wonderful in my life since I got born again? Amen. We can all say that today. And if you're not going to say that, we want to invite you to come forward to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Glory to God. Amen. So the miracles he did for their ancestors in the plain of Zoan, in the land of Egypt, for he divided the sea and led them through, making the water stand up like walls. In the daytime, he led them by a cloud. That's not the iCloud, by the way. And by night, a pillar of fire. He split open the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water from the gushing spring. He made streams pour from the rock, making the waters flow like river. Yet they kept on sinning against him, rebelling against him, the Most High in the desert. They stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved. They even spake against God himself, saying, "Can God give us food in the wilderness? Yes, he can strike a rock so sweet water gushes out, but he can't give the people bread and meat." Here we see people being supplied by God in every area of their lives, and yet they complain. You know, there's people that are, you can do 100 things for them, and if you didn't fulfill one thing, they cancel everything, the 99 things that you did before. So if you know kids, they'll do that to parents. but people always remember, what have you done for me lately? And we can see that these people, these Israelites, complained even though God had done wonderful things in their lives. And isn't that like us? We complain about the things that, our human nature, that's I'm talking about, our unrenewed mind and our emotions. We say that God hasn't done a whole lot. And I remember one person said to me, He started to, he said, "I'm not giving God any of my money. It's all my money." And not realizing that God owns everything. Yeah. He owns everything, all the resources, people, and things. And God, he just uses what you give back to help you along. And the Bible says God creates everything. And there's several scriptures in the Bible that says he made everything, all the beasts, the wild beasts, all the resources. It all belongs to God, and those resources belong to us. And God wants to help us. And so that fellow, he said, I'm going to stop giving and tithing because God has not done anything for me. And yet, never forgot about the salvation that came along and all the wonderful things that God has done. So we need to remember and recall very quickly when we're out complaining about what God hasn't done. So they were, although God did all those wonderful things for them, the story of the Israelites, their journey, their spiritual pilgrimage out of the land of Egypt. Egypt is a type and shadow of the devil's kingdom and the devil himself. Pharaoh is a type of the that and the people under that power, they were held captive. They were held captive under that government, and they didn't own anything. They didn't even own themselves. They were slaves. And so that's a picture, a spiritual picture of the devil and his kingdom, and when we're under that kingdom. And he was a cruel taskmaster, and God brought them out with a mighty hand and brought them out with signs and wonders and miracles. And along the way, he performed different miracles. And he brought them in such a powerful fashion out of Egypt. They were to go to the promised land. As I mentioned, along the way, they had different challenges, much like we have lots of challenges. And God is faithful. Can you say God is faithful? And he is a very faithful God. And sometimes we don't think that he's faithful, but he is very, very faithful. We don't think that he is sometimes because maybe things are not working the way we think it should go or as fast as they could go. But God is very patient with everybody. He's working with people in your life right now. He's working with your boss at work. He's working with your colleague at work. Maybe he's working with your husband, your wife, your children. He's working with people. And sometimes we're praying, and God is patient with them. And so we need to be patient. That's why he gave us his patience to wait along. And sometimes we want things to come quickly to us. And so, but we need to be patient. The Bible talks about, in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 10 there, and then Romans 15, that everything that from 1 to 5 and 1 to 4 in those chapters, it tells us there that everything that happened to Israel, and Israel is a type of the church. And Israel individually is a type of a person. Well, if you read Israel, you'll see you in it. It's a picture of you and God and your relationship. And so when you read the story of the Israelites and individual people in there, it's a story that reflects us. And you can find yourself in there when you read those things. So 1 Corinthians 15 says that everything that happened in there is for our learning, for our example. So everything that happened to them, we could use that for our learning and find out about what God will do and what we would do, what we, our flesh, will do. So when you read the Israelites and you see, oh, they're horrible, they're terrible, you're talking about yourself, because that's who we are. We reflect that, and that's God showing us, how could God, you read the Psalms, and they God helped them out, and they go back to sin again, and they cry to God, and God helped them out, delivered them, go back again. It's on and on and on and on, and you read those Psalms, you'll see, how could someone do something like that? Because they're blind. They go right back to the sin that really damaged them. And so we say, how could this happen? And yet, in our own lives, we do things just like that. Our flesh does, at least. Now your spirit doesn't, because it's born again. If you're unrenewed, you'll continually do the same things and make the same mistakes. You're awfully quiet today, guys. Because maybe you're talking there. So I want you to understand that they said this. Can God give us food? They're questioning his ability to do something for them. And yet he'd done a lot already. He's done a lot, and we say the same thing. Every time we come up against a problem, we say, can God do this again? Well, God can. Yes, I can. And I think the former President Obama talked about, yes, we can. I mean, we can do it with God. All things are possible. Yeah. So I want to say that when you can't, God can. Amen. And he can do things in our lives when you don't have enough energy. You get up every morning. One of the things I used to do, whenever I remember it, I always say the same thing. That is, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want can be translated as need. I won't need for strength today. I won't need for resources today. I won't need, I won't lack for any of those needs. Whatever it is, whatever I need, God will fulfill that need and put that need in my life. I need somebody to encourage me. God will bring somebody to me. If I need an encouraging word, you know, I'll find something. So, as I mentioned to you, there's two groups in the church. And God can, it's the God can group and the God can't group. So one is always asking the question if God can do certain things to help them. They question God. They say, God can't do something. They say, God can't help me for some reason. And yet some of the times it's because they're not living right. They haven't aligned themselves up to God and His will and His perfect plan. God's not going to bless you along the way He wants to. He wants to. God can't bless you if you're doing your own thing. Amen. We have to come to God and humbly offer ourselves to Him and say, Lord, I need help. Amen. I want to submit to you. And the best place to be is in His will. Amen. Right? The best place to be is in the will of God. That's where all your healing is. That's where all your resources are in God's perfect will. And when we're out there on our own, we're on our own. You know, we ask God, we plan things outside of God's will. We plan a new job outside of the will of God. We plan a relationship outside of God's will. And God can't bless it the way He wants to. And yet God wants to bless you immeasurably. Psalm 127 is one of the psalms I refer to often. And it says that unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain. And that tells us that there's some things in life that we do that are outside God's will. We build things. We build careers. And we build different things that really has nothing to do with God and His kingdom. But our own ego, our own life, and our own selfishness. And we have to watch that. And sometimes our own life is built around our selfishness. We have to be, we're dishonest because we're blind by our own selves. Are you here?
Yes.
So, one group says, one group always asking the question, if God can do certain things, why isn't He helping me? And as I mentioned to you, it's because they're not living the way God wants them to live.
Amen.
They have to align themselves up to God's will. The other groups, the other group God can, or the other group that we mentioned is the can God, or God can group. They believe God no matter what they face. Even when things don't seem to work out, they still believe God. They don't blame God. They don't have negative statements. And they don't say things, why is this happening to me? Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, all things are possible. And He was talking to a man who had a child who was very sick. And he had no answers for that child's condition. And I'm sure he did everything he could since the child was born. And that child had, looked like, you know, seizures and different things happening. And maybe it looked like it was like suicide tendencies and those kind of things. And that kid was having a hard time, that young person. I was told not too long ago over in our First Nations territory, there was like four young people died about 2 weeks ago. There's 12-year-old young girls, two of them committed suicide. And the week before that, somebody else was doing it. So there was a whole bunch of young people, just 12 years old. Can you imagine this story over here? This young man that was having this problem, and this man came to Jesus and his disciples, and yet he asked him, can you do something for us? Jesus said, he was questioning God. He was questioning Jesus. If you can do anything for me, Lord. And Jesus said, if I can do anything, and we mentioned that on Wednesday, if I can do anything, what do you mean if I can do anything? He said, all things are possible for him who believes. What can you believe? See, God, we always put everything to God. We blame God for everything. When we need to step out and believe God for different things. So God, we put everything else on Him. We say it's God's fault that this is happening. When, in fact, it's our doing.
Amen.
God wants you to believe. Everything is by faith. We have to believe God. You know, faith, one of the things about faith is being confident in God and what he can do. You know, when someone has faith and trust in God, they're confident that God will come through for them.
Amen.
Can you say amen? So negative circumstances don't change God's word at all. If there's negative situations in your life, God is still the same.
Amen.
If you lost money, God is still the same.
Yep.
If you had sickness happened in your life, if cancer struck you, God is still the same. That cancer in your body doesn't change God at all. When someone dies in your family, God is still the same. He doesn't change. Things happen out of your control sometimes. And sometimes the best thing for you to do is come to God and say, God, I surrender myself to you. Help me out. If you can do anything for me, well, he can do something for us. He will help us out. But so we blame God for different things, you know. People have their own choices as adults and young adults, and sometimes we make choices that affect all of us. They say one person can affect so many thousands of people in the whole lifetime.
Amen.
If you're in leadership, you affect more people than you realize. You know, just everyday people affect a whole bunch of, you know, people. People watch us that don't even realize, we don't even realize they're watching us. They see our lives. So when things are not going your way, you may be tempted to say the wrong thing, make a negative statement, and negate your faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, 23, 35, and 36, he says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The word profession is the word confession. The word confession in the Greek means homologeo, which means to speak the same as. To speak the same as God. And whatever God's word says about you and your situation, we're to speak the word about every situation in our lives. Now, you'll be tempted not to speak positive things. When everything's going wrong, you'll say, well, this always happens to me. Things never work out for me. Why is this happening to me? Where is God in this situation? Now, you'll be tempted to say that, and that Bible says that let us hold fast our confession. You have to hold on to saying the right thing when everything's going wrong.
Amen.
And so we have to say what God says about us. What does God's word say? Someone asked, you know, this is Pastor Hagin, and he watched his dad over the years. He grew up in a home of an apostle of faith. A man that gave the word. You know, what is an apostle? The word apostle means sent one. It means when God grabs a man and or woman and uses that person and brings a special message out for that part of the world or wherever. God brings a special message and he proclaims that and he's strong on it. And guess what Kenneth Hagin was? He was an apostle of faith. He was also a prophet, a teacher. And God blessed him in many ways as he walked with God. And the things he said here, whenever his leadership would say things like, you know, what are we going to do now? Whenever there's a hard problem, you ever had a hard problem in your life that you couldn't solve on your own, that the doctor couldn't solve, that the banker couldn't solve, that your family couldn't solve, you hit up a brick wall, and then you say, oh my, what are we going to do? 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 And it's on and on. Well, Pastor Hagin watched his dad over the years, and he watched the leadership in his ministry when they needed millions of dollars a month to continually run the ministry. And they were just going through different things, and people would say, well, what are we going to do now? He said, well, we're going to act like the word of God is true.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody said that. We're going to act like the word of God is true. And he says, I'm not going to miss one meal. I'm going to go to sleep tonight knowing that, God, I prayed. And if it doesn't look good, if I prayed, it looks worse, I'm just going to act like it's true. I'm going to act like God heard me. If it gets any worse, I'm going to continually praise God and thank him. Glory to God. Now, is this hard? Yes, it is hard when things are going wrong and it might get even worse. And sometimes they get worse. But you continually walk with God. So negative situations don't change the word of God. We must remain the same. The Bible said that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed a leper back then, he can heal one today. Praise God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he says in there, Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence. That word confidence, everybody say confidence. That word confidence is synonymous or like the word faith. If you read Hebrews 11:1, it says faith is the assurance or the confidence, the Amplified says. So don't cast away what you are assured of in the Word of God. Don't cast away your confidence in God and His Word. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your feelings. Huh? Trust in the Lord with all your mind. Is that what the Word of God says? That's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your
heart.
Where is your heart at? Over here, right? Your heart is over on the inside. Your head is not your heart.
Amen.
See, you know, we have this problem. If you don't understand spirit, soul, body, you don't understand that, you'll have a hard time walking by faith. If you never flew a plane with instruments, I'm not talking about guitars and stuff like that. I'm talking about, you know, all the radar and whatever. If you never flew a plane, how many of you ever flew a plane? How many of you flew in a plane? Okay, everybody been in one? So sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but we take off from wherever, airport, and you can't see a thing 20 feet up in the air, and you're in the up the air, and for about 20 minutes, you're just flying in the, I don't know, you can't see anything, and you keep looking out, you know, trying to look at the paper, pretend that you're not afraid, like the 100 other people in the plane. And then when the plane shakes, you go, you know? And those guys are flying by instruments. And you look in the cockpit, they're all playing guitars and singing songs. No, they're just, you know, they're just relaxing, drinking a coffee, talking, and there's, you know, they're just using their instruments, flying by instruments. That's what faith is. When you can't see anything, this is your instrument.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Said, this is my instrument. That's what it is. This is what it is. Don't cast away your confidence. Things may be going bad and maybe gone from bad to worse. Or maybe look so desperate. And so many times you look at the Israelites. Even in chapter 20, the Israelites had an army coming against them. Jehoshaphat had fear in his heart, just like you and I would have fear in the heart when he had those three armies coming against him. And the Bible says that he began to fast and pray and told everybody else to pray to seek God and what he might do for them. And every time people get in crisis, they pray to God. And when they're having a great time, they don't think about God.
That's right.
We got to think about God in the good times and in the bad times.
Amen.
Even when the leaves are losing, we believe, praise God. Amen. And it's building our faith. And the Habs are losing. And now the Bruins are losing. Leafs are coming up. There's going to be a big fight in here. No? All right. So there, we fly by instruments, and the Word of God is the instrument. He said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. So we can't throw away our belief system just because you're sick right now. You can't throw away the Bible because someone died. You can't throw away the Bible because the money didn't come in as on time as you thought it was should come in. But God has other plans. Maybe that plan has rotten. Maybe God wants to change your plan. And maybe not have you go in that direction with all that money in your pocket. And you'd lose it all. And so, anyway, he said, He said, don't cast away your confidence, which had great recompense and reward, for you have need of patience. Everybody say patience.
Patience.
If you look at that word patience, and you go to the library and you look in a dictionary, you'll see Mrs. Grace Pearson's picture in there. Patience. No, patience is the ability to stand and never change. No matter what happens, we're the same. We're patient with things. Maybe people aren't changing the way we want them to change. Maybe our husbands or wives or something's not going the way it should. You can't force people. You ever notice that? You can't force people. That's why they have police officers and stuff. You have need of patience. After that, you have done the will of God. What is the will of God? His word. the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Whatever God promised in the will, you'll receive it if you're patient. Thank God for His. So one of the things happened is that people questioned God. And they question themselves when things are not going right. When things appear not according to what they're believing, they're tempted to just quit. It says it's not working, it's no use. We're not supposed to question God during these times. God's word is still the same always. It's what's happening in our lives that's the problem. Maybe our perspective is changed. Maybe something in us needs to change. Maybe our character needs to change. Maybe we need a little bit more patience. And take some time. Take a break. Go to Robin's and have a Timmy's. No matter what happens, your experience doesn't negate, as I mentioned, or change God's word. God is always the same. His word always works. We need to work the word. Some are blinded. Some people get blinded during hard times or are blinded before a hard time comes, and then they get worse as the trouble occurs. Some people get so blinded by the choices, because the choices they've made, the decisions they've continued to walk, or they continue to walk willfully in a sinful lifestyle. When I talk about a sinful life, most people immediately think about, that happens to me too, and that is, we think about all the killing going on, and the murderers, and the thieves, and the addictions, habits, and whatever, robbing, whatever, lying, thieving. But a sinful lifestyle can be just not obeying what God wants you to do. Just saying no to God. Sin is sin. When you disobey God, that's sin. It's equal to killing somebody. But not morally. I'm talking about spiritually. Because we categorize sin. Oh, that one there is a prostitute. That's real bad. Whatever. That one there sells drugs. Oh, that's real bad. That guy's a murderer. Oh, yeah. So we kind of like categorize them. But God sees it all as the same thing. Now it's bad, and when we categorize that in the legal system and our morality, you know, it's, yeah, we do that. So, Brother Higgin used to say, I'd rather trust the dope peddlers instead of dope peddlers in the church. He said, at least you can help the dope peddler, but not the guy that's always doubting everything. Praise God. Okay. Paul gives us insight to what happens in a person's life under saints' influence. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Shine. We see some key words in here. Blinded, minds, world. Light, shine. Those are things that tell us something about not having the revelation that we need. The devil blinds people. When you disobey God, you'll be blinded by your own emotional situation. You'll be blinded by the circumstances, saying, where's God? And we create a mess and we blame God for it, or we blame the devil. Better yet, we blame the devil because he's the bad one. No, you're probably the bad one. You know, the devil's messing with me. Well, you're the devil in that situation. You're messing with yourself. So he says in there that the glorious light should shine upon them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Sin is deceitful because your flesh enjoys it so much that it will risk anything to get to do what it wants to do. I've heard of someone that I knew that risked their whole life in my age. Risked your whole life at the casino, lost your house. Don't have a house anymore. How are you going to go and earn that kind of wage? And you can, you know, we know someone else and that a couple of other people that I know that went down there and lost a whole lot. And lost their marriage, and the person couldn't live with that person anymore. Another situation where they lost the house as well. And kept using up funds, and you have to leave that situation. You can't just stay in that situation. You'll go broke. So we don't want to go broke. So people get into trouble that way. The Lord Jesus Christ made this statement that we all can relate to, because perhaps we have been in these situations. And I've seen other people in these situations. He stated in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 19, he says, the cares of this world. How many people know that the cares of this world can blind our minds? Because you're so full of care that you can't see God. He says the cares of this world or the anxieties of the world, you're so full of it you can't see God working in your life. Or you can't see the answer. It also says in here, this deceitfulness of riches. People get off because of riches. They get off, they follow other things and leave God and His kingdom and His word. We see this many times in the scripture. People just leave because they don't want to give God money to help His ministry and church. They get mad, leave the church and say it's your fault. And they say things like, you know, tithing is of the law. So, you know, if you believe God, you can give 10%. There's nothing wrong with 10%. You use 100% sometimes of all of it at the bar. At least you should invest some money. Amen. And so we do different things, right? Hey, am I sounding like Larry a little bit?
Yeah.
Is Larry rubbing off on me? Has rubbed off on me, right? These are Larry's sister and niece over here. Give them a hand. Pastor, brother Larry. Larry, I watched Larry many years, like maybe 30, almost 30, going on 30 years, been friends with me and Larry. And he's such a great man of God. I love Larry.
Amen.
And I guess Claire's coming this next week or so. He says the lust of other things. Notice that, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So there's things that come into our heart, chokes us, and we can't see God, our heart. You know what? Your heart is how you see God. Your heart has eyes. The Bible says the eyes of understanding be enlightened. So when we do bad things, we're so messed up with stuff that it messes up our heart. Our heart hears God. The way you hear God is in your heart. And so when you're full of stuff, junk in you can't hear God when you got junk in your heart. That's why the Bible says we believe in our heart. When we have resentment and anger and self-pity, it will kill you. And you got self-pity in there. You're trying to believe God and you're just feeling sorry for yourself. You can't find God and His answer. And yet God wants to help. And so we see these things happening to different ones. So, say no by faith like Moses to sins and pleasures of life. And Moses is a good example for us. To follow God's plan and purpose no matter what happens, no matter how much you pay. Someone says, you know, it doesn't, he said it never pays or it costs you to serve God. No, it pays to serve God, right? So it says here that it was by faith over here in the Hebrews 11, 24. It was by faith that Moses, notice this, it was by faith Moses. What did he do by faith? When he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer oppression or share the oppression, or King James says suffer oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin for a season, the King James says, a short time. So sin can blind people when they're trying to find answers to what they want. They enjoy that part of their lives, but it's only a short time. The Bible said that he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. You have to leave by faith whatever is holding you back. You have to leave by faith. You have to leave Egypt by faith. You have to leave the world by faith. You have to leave negative situations by faith. That's how you come out of things, by faith, to believe God. Amen. Trust Him. You can't see things. Trust Him on your own. Hang in there. Everybody say, hang in there. Amen. Jesus speaking to the Jews who are blinded by their traditions. How many people know that you're also going to be blinded by your own traditions? Your tradition of your culture, which is, he talked to the Jewish people because they had so much tradition in their culture. They couldn't see God. They put conditions about God. They put culture and following God in the Bible at the same level. You can't do that. It's God first. Yeah, keep your tradition if it's good. It's not against God. Keep it. But conditions like that can cause you to walk off and take a 10, 20-year journey down the road that you're going to waste life and time, lose money, and get sick and be unhappy. So Jesus said to the people in John 8:31 there, the Jews, his brothers and sisters, he said to the people there who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings," he says. Some people are blinded to see the truth. He says, nobody can see in the dark. He says that you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. It was when I first began to acknowledge I had a problem with addictions. I got help and I said, I have a problem. I need help. Can you help me? And so some men who have problems with addictions, with pornography, you got to go to your wife and say, I have a problem. Hello, we don't talk about that enough in the church. Some of you might have addictions like this in the church. On the internet, you can have little kids get addicted early, on this stuff. You have it right on your tablets. It's getting quiet down here. There's a lot of addictions. Just go downtown and you see people at the bingo hall every day. They go there faithfully every day at the bingo hall. Faithfully at the bingo hall. Spend money. But they won't give God a dime. nobody can see in the dark. Nobody can walk in the dark and function. They eventually hurt themselves and get trapped in a situation, but can't just see the way out. So we can't give up if we have some little bit of darkness. The Bible says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Psalm 23. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That rod and that staff that covered me, that prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Yes, there's enemies. Enemies there. But we know he's there, but we don't let him in. So when the enemy comes in, we let the light shine in our hearts through the word of God. We can turn, God can turn our bondages into freedom. John 8:34, as I mentioned, Jesus said to the people, we who believe in him, he said, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free." Here's something we need to know, and I'm going to give you these really fast here. God can turn. We say God can. So here's something that God can do. God can turn your darkness. He can turn your darkness into daylight. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people saw who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And those who lived in the land," you know that land he's talking about is the land of Egypt, where there's all bondage and fear and sickness and poverty, lack. That's what he's talking about. If you read the whole book, you'll see this picture in there. That land, that's what the land he's talking about. He said that land where death casts its shadow. A light has shined. Right. Amen? Yeah. Colossians, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Colossians 1:13. He said he has delivered us, has, H-A-S, has, past tense, in God, in Jesus Christ. He has delivered, yeah. Not going to deliver. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Yeah. We're delivered right now. Lift that hand and say, I'm delivered. Say, I'm delivered right now. See, no matter if we're having addiction problems or not, we just say, thank God, I'm delivered. Just say it. Just say it. Just keep saying it. Praise God. Don't let the devil negate what comes out of your mouth. Mark Hankins says, don't run to a giant with your mouth closed. Run like David with his mouth open, saying, I'm going to destroy you. Tell the devil, you're leaving my life. You're going to leave out of here right now. Don't be afraid of him. He's defeated. Jesus defeated him for you. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus defeated the devil for me. See? Some of you are not saying it. People live under Satan's power in the land of death and darkness, but God can outshine darkness anytime. No matter how dark it is, God can change your darkness into light today. Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus. He can turn your sickness into health today. He said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who knows about doing good and healing all who oppress the devil? He can turn your oppression around into joy today. Thank God. In Mark chapter 5, there's mentions about three people in there who God did something for. God delivered those people. The demoniac, the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter, who was at the point of death. A point of death. They told Jairus, they said, Jairus went to Jesus and said, you know what, my daughter is sick at home. Or a son, I guess. Change the story a little bit there. But he says, my child's at home sick, at a point of death. Jesus said, you know, it's amazing what happens to our lives, you know. And all of a sudden, there's a lady that came in, held them back, right? You ever notice that when you're trying to rush somewhere in town, there's all of a sudden all these slow drivers in front of you? How many of you noticed that? Huh? Pastor Ken, you ever noticed that? Where he's gone? Thank God I'm with him so that he just zips around. But you see, sometimes when you want something from God and you can't get to where you're supposed to and there's so much impediment. So this guy came to Jesus asking, you know, my child is at the point of death. And all of a sudden a lady comes by, causes a commotion, and Jesus is stuck there in traffic. And he wants to have Jesus say something, do something. You know? It's amazing that what happens. You ever had that problem? Yeah. We want Jesus to do something and God to do something, but there's all these impediments all of a sudden in our way. Just like this story. You know? So we just believe. We just believe. Don't believe. So there's mentioned those three people there who were freed. The demoniac who suffered for many years. This young girl who was near death. We find ourselves being delayed. Sometimes our healing is delayed. Jairus' daughter here, the Jewish leader of the synagogue, the daughter was sick near death. If you find yourself in a delay like this, you have to say that God can do it. And he did it. He brought healing to that situation. We limit God by not believing him. God can turn our doubts into beliefs. The Bible says in Mark 11, 23, he says, you know, trust God. We can trust God and our beliefs by looking at the Word of God today. We can do that. We need to speak the results that we want in our lives. The problem here, that we look at situations like in Mark chapter 5, the Bible says that Jesus said to those people, in Mark chapter 4, I believe it is, let's go past to the other side of the lake. Remember that story? And what happened? There was a big storm. I mean, I thought they were with Jesus. I thought nothing ever happens when you're with Jesus. Yet there was a storm. And he's sleeping in the back part of the boat there. And all the disciples got all scared. Said, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that we're dying? That sounds just like you, doesn't it? Right? That Jesus, don't you care about me? Jesus just relaxing, you know. He said, what's wrong with you guys? Where's your faith? He says. He's expecting them to use their faith because he taught them. And he's expecting us to use our faith. Amen. God can do it. Amen. If we begin to use our faith. Let's pass over to the other side. So we're going to go pass over to the other side. We can because God said. Amen. We're going to pass over to the other side. God cares about whether we perish or not. He cares about it. He's already set up a plan for us not to perish. He's given us peace. Bible says we rebuke the wind and the sea and it obey him. He said, what kind of a man is this? Well, he's a faith man. He believed, spoke into situations. God will provide. He can provide your needs. When there's nothing left, God can provide your needs. 4:19, the Bible says, Psalm 23 says, God, I will lack for nothing. I won't lack for anything today. God will provide. He's my shepherd. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's a story in Luke chapter 5 about Peter. Remember Peter's boat in Luke chapter 5? They fished all night, and they got off work and cleaned up their boat. And, you know, Jesus says, borrowed his boat for a while, preached a little bit. And he said, go a little further, cast your net. He said, we already done that already, Jesus, all night. And maybe you've been the same way. You've been trying and trying and trying, but you need to listen to God. God says, go a little further, cast your net out. And the Bible says they caught so much fish that they broke the nets. And they had to call another ship to come in to get the other stuff. And they almost sank two ships. God is a net-breaking God. A sink ship in God. He'll provide for you. He provides everything we need. He can provide. He can calm a storm. The Bible says he calmed that storm. He can turn our sickness into health. We've seen this time and time again. God can send prosperity. We read a scripture this morning. Oh, come now, Lord. Send prosperity. Psalm 118, verse 25 said, send prosperity. God will send. He can send prosperity your way. He can send you the accounts that you need, the people that you need. He can turn your darkest hour and set you free. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, those disciples were there and they were obeying God, and yet they still got in trouble, were thrown in jail, obeying God. And they were in jail. They were tied up in jail. They were beaten badly, thrown in prison. And they could have complained, but they started singing songs to God. They must have remembered the Second Chronicles 20. When those guys started singing, God says, start giving me praise. And all of a sudden, God sent the ambushments against their enemies, set them free. The Bible says, in that prison, Paul and Silas and those guys were in prison. They began to sing praises to God. And the Bible says the prisoners, other prisoners heard them. They were singing so loud that everybody else heard them. And the Bible says God sent an earthquake, shake that place down. And all of a sudden, their bands of their shackles were they fell off of their feet and their arms. It all fell off, and the prison door opened. God can set you free today. Amen. He can change your darkness into light today. Yes. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. The things we cry about today, I heard, we will laugh about tomorrow. The things we cry about today, we laugh about tomorrow. Things can change. Ushers, are we using... thank you, Lord. You can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Thank you, Father. Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you that you've done so much for our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us so much. Thank you that you've sent Jesus, oh Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing us today with family and friends. Some of us might be facing physical challenges, emotional challenges, financial, marriage, children, relationship problems, work problems, business problems, things that you can't solve on your own. But we're going to look to God today, together, not just individually, but together as a family, as a church. We're going to pray for one another. The Bible says, pray for one another that you may be healed. Let's ask God right now for forgiveness if we disobeyed Him. The first thing. If you're in this room right now or watching on television, I want us to come to God and say, Lord, I'm I'm coming to you. I'm just yielding my whole life to you, Lord. I cannot fix this problem on my own. And maybe there's something that you need to change in me. I don't know what it is, Father. Look, search me, the Bible says. Search me, Lord, and see if there's anything wrong in my life, my heart. If there's any resentment and anger, self-pity, whatever it is, rebellion, dishonesty, deceit. Lord, forgive me. You just ask God for forgive you. The Bible says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess our sins. Thank you, Lord. I'm just waiting for the little children to come in so some of the families can partake.